For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:07 on a frosty morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, who welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch, the Yeti, 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective. And possibly about town, if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, and we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you, your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 340-1045, 340-1045. And if you're calling from Buffalo.
Buffalo, New York?
Buffalo, New York.
That's one cold place and a lot of snow.
And we welcome the folks down from Buffalo to be defeated.
Fleeing at snow blizzards, you know.
Yep. If you're calling from Buffalo, you'll need the area code 904-340-1045. Three things on my mind to share with you, sir.
No kidding.
They are these.
What are that?
Heat pump smoke.
Heat pump smoke, okay.
Space heaters.
Space heaters.
And VA rep.
VA rep, okay.
Heat pump smoke. We have gotten several calls this week at the Home Pro headquarters.
Okay.
Hey, 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 you inspected my home, and there's smoke coming out of my heat pump. I'm like, oh, that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. Our heat pumps pump heat. They pump heat into the house and cold out of the house. When it's as cold as it's been, the outside unit, that coil at the compressor, can freeze.
Right.
And the system has a defrost mode built into it. It detects when that coil needs to be defrosted. So when you see smoke coming out of the compressor section of your heat pump, that's the outside section, that is in its defrost mode, no need to worry.
Okay.
When people call our office and we can explain it, that's all good. Regrettably, many people have called for service and an unnecessary service call.
Right.
So if you see smoke, it'll go away in just a few minutes. It's not actually smoke, it's steam in the defrost mode. Don't worry about it. Second thing on my mind, space heaters. Gosh, we've talked about space heaters the last couple of weeks. It got cool and the dangers of, and
Even buy one at Home Depot. I went to buy one for my office. I couldn't even buy one at Home Depot, Walmart, every place was
they
out.
They should send us a thank you card. Regrettably, we lost a life in town today, or not today, but this week from a space heater fire.
Oh, wow.
So a brief reminder again.
How did it occur? The extension cord?
They're still investigating. I don't know why it occurred. I know the person died.
Okay.
That's bad.
Okay.
So the things to avoid burning your house down with a space heater, this is important, only one cord, one cord of any type in the outlet. The cord cannot be covered by anything. It needs to be in clear air so it can be cool. And keep combustibles back away from it. And when you're not in the room, shut it down. The safest of them are the ones that look like old-time radiators, the oil-filled ones. You don't have that hot coil. You have the least risk of burn. And I love them. I use them, I have two. I have one, one in my reading space, and one up in the master.
And make sure you have a fire detector in the room.
Absolutely. Always fire detector as well as CO detector, and that's important stuff. So we don't want to lose any more people around town. Be safe. And it's a reminder, if you have friends or family members or neighbors who need a little help remembering these things, you know, because they may not be aware or they don't listen to the show, just go on over and check on their space heater for them to be sure they have it in a safe place so nothing bad happens.
Yeah.
So, good reminder. And the last is VA rep. You're a veteran. I'm a veteran. And veterans are entitled to some pretty special privileges. One of them is VA home loans and some other special stuff. There's a new group in town. It's a national organization. It's called VA rep, R-E-P. Mario Gonzalez, I don't know if you know Mario, veteran. Good guy. Is bringing that a chapter to us in Jacksonville. We had our initial meeting, and its goal is bringing education to veterans and education to real estate professionals to aid veterans in housing issues, whether it's as easy as a VA loan. Sometimes veterans need special accommodations, and it's not just young veterans. You know, we're helping veterans from World War II all the way forward. So less than 8%, this was interesting to me.
Yes.
VA homeowners, which is about 1.5 million in Florida, less than 8% use their VA loan. Because
less than 8%? That's incredible. I've used mine twice.
I've used mine too. So it's interesting. So that's what the group's about. If you're interested, you can contact me directly, you know, through our website, gohomepro.com, or more information, VAREP, varep.net. It's inexpensive, and we're looking for veterans and specifically veterans who are elsewise involved in real estate. Real estate agents, lenders, home inspectors, appraisers, people who already have a bit of a connection or an affection toward veterans. And you don't need to be one to participate with us. Anyway, varep.net or contact me through the website and or contact Mario Gonzalez if you know Mario is a wonderful guy. Get involved there. So what's on your mind, sir?
Hey, it's getting that cold time of the year. Of course, we've already had a cold blast. And protection of your plants, you know, put them in the garage, your tropical plants is always a good idea. But watering is the most key element to improve the stability of your grass. You know, so a lot of times people turn off the water during the winter. You got to have irrigation on your grass during the winter. You know, grass, you know, the air is very dry. It doesn't rain a lot in our climate zone. So making sure you continue to water your grass. The net effect is that in the spring, you're not going to notice the cold damage. But if you don't water and we have like a week or two of freezing weather, you're going to have a lot of damage to your St. Augustine. Some grasses are not as badly affected, like zoysia, but all of them are going to be somewhat affected.
Right.
You know, once you have damage, like on a banana or some tropical plant, it's best to go ahead and just leave those leaves on that plant or the damaged area, because it does provide some type of protection for the plant, the viable part. For instance, if you have a banana too, one of the things, if you want to make sure it produces fruit, you're going to have to make sure that you keep some portion of the trunk alive above the ground,
right. The
pseudo trunk. And you could do that by wrapping it, boxing it.
Whack it and cover it with a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah, exactly. Anything. The pseudo trunk has to be kept alive above ground for 18 months consecutive in order for it to produce fruit. But a lot of the tropical plants are, you know, in our zone, which would be marginal, would do better if they're watered, and then you can all, of course, cover them. Cover them will give them maybe up to 2 to 5 degrees. When you're out buying fabric or frost fabric, there's light frost, medium, and heavy duty. So if you see the difference, you know, try to get the heavy duty stuff. And you can leave that on during the day because it breathes. It'll let some light through. Unlike blankets, blankets are good. Sheets are good. Anything like that. Or you can also just get some pine straw is good. Just stack that on the top and make a maybe 5 to 10 inch barrier, and that holds the heat in there. So you're going to be in good condition on that.
Right.
So some cold protection is good. Your citrus trees, if your citrus trees are going to, you know, it's going to go to a hard freeze, it's going to be below, say, 32 for 5 hours, then the fruit are going to freeze probably. So they're only going to be good for 2 to 3 days after it warms up. So you think about removing some of the ones that you want to keep, you know, before that.
Since it's cold, let's see if we can help Chris in Doctor's Inlet with his HVAC question.
Okay, sure.
Chris, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning. What's up?
All right, well, every year, I've been in the house since 08. It's built in 79, and for number's sake, it's 1,500 square feet with a 2.5-ton outside. And I'm not sure on the steer on the inside, but the inside handler is, I want to say, the original handler.
Okay.
So once a year, I fix something on one or the other, whether it be summertime or wintertime. I've already bypassed the defrost board once and all these kinds of things. So I'm looking at replacing them. I've got a few AC guys that are friends of mine. You know, they're going to come in and help me.
Great.
And shorten the money up for me. So I've got a guy that wants to throw a Carrier in there for a little under $4,000, and another guy that can do Goodman for about $2,300. I'm wondering what your opinions on the brands were.
The difference between $4,000 and $2,300,
it's a huge amount.
That trumps the brand issue for me.
Oh, right, right.
Neither of them is bad. What you need to, most importantly, is be sure you're comparing similar sear, similar performance, similar in the variable speed and all that. It's odd that there's that much variance. That's not an issue of the cost of the, a $1,700 difference is either they're not similar systems, or there's another factor. A brand difference wouldn't make that much. I can tell you with the decision I made, I've replaced two of them in my house in the last year, both of them at the same time, and also my office this year. And I chose Daikin. That was the best blend between performance and economics. So I don't think there's any bad ones.
You always hear horror stories about certain brands, and I was obviously going to go with the $2,300 deal to save some bucks, but just wanted to make sure they weren't going to, you know, kaput day one kind of.
No, they're not going to kaput day one. You know, the Goodman is definitely on the low end of the budget brand, and I doubt those systems are comparable from what you've described.
Right.
So.
Well, that's about it. I appreciate that.
All right, stay warm.
Thank you.
Bye. Hey, brand, it's more important that the system specification is right than the brand.
Right.
And people often, they'll call three different air conditioning companies. They bid three different systems. Not only are they three different brands, they're just not the same.
They're different sears.
And one has a variable air handler. One's including this, including that. When you do a side-by-side comparison, usually the numbers start to get quite a bit closer.
Right.
The idea that one is 40% less than the other, there's something other than brand that's causing that difference. Let's take a little bit break and we'll jump back to the phones. It's 720 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Stay warm. Check in with us. Tell us how you're doing it at 340-1045. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 724 here at News 104.5. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry's easy to find all the time online, larrysgarden.com. He's also got the telephone, 346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, easy to find all the time online, gohomepro.com. Got the telephone, 268-8211. Hey, let me share something with you I did on my citrus for the cold, and tell me good, bad, or
good,
neutral.
Good, bad, or the ugly. Remember that, Clint?
Yeah. In order to, I have a well and an aerator and all that. So in order to reduce the risk of a freeze problem there this past week, I covered up the well head, I covered up the well pump, covered up the aerator, and then I trickled my outside faucets.
Yeah.
And I led that through hose to the base of my citrus grove.
That'll work.
So I was hydrating my citrus.
Hydrating and making sure you don't get all your stuff frozen.
Yeah, and then
it's just trickling out like that.
Covered them in clear plastic, though I didn't secure it well, meaning I draped it so it could still breathe, and it had a lot of breathing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about
plastic? Plastic's not a good idea to cover plants with. I mean, you can if you, it works, but it's not recommended, you know.
Well, let me tell you where my mindset was and share the pros and cons.
Yeah.
Because we had that freezing rain situation, I thought if I had the blankets on it, the sheet or the blanket was going to get wet and freeze on it. I was worried about weight. I was worried about So that was my mind. I don't know. I didn't do it any harm apparently.
Well, if you have, let's say for instance, if you have the blankets on there and it gets wet and it freezes. It's kind of like when you're out in the outdoor survival, you dig into the snow.
It's like an igloo. It won't drop below.
So the temperature 32. That's going to stay there is going to be around 32.
Yeah. I was worried about weight also.
The weight, that could be the weight issue.
It's fairly small.
Yeah, it's okay, you know, but they don't recommend it, you know. And plus, you have to remove it during the day because it can really warm up in there.
That's why I left it baggy.
Yeah, you warm up in there, and it's if you leave it baggy, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Keeping the frost off, but plastic is not all the recommended thing to do because of the heat and during the day. Also, they don't like the contact with it. But if you put your fabric on there, the frost fabric, that's somewhat water repellent.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't
absorb water
as much. It doesn't get like heavy like cottonwood or blanket wood.
Yeah.
So that's
what's the frost fabric made of? Is it like polypropylene?
Some type of synthetic material. I never looked at it really carefully, but it's a woven material and it sheds water. It's kind of like Under Armour. You know, it sheds it.
Yeah.
Kinda, you know, it doesn't get super heavy.
Yeah.
It's lightweight and it breathes. You know?
Yeah, that's what I need. Gore-Tex sheets to put over. they're probably under $500 a piece.
Well, if you don't like your lawn turner, if you live on the west side or you live on the north side or you live in an area that gets really cold in South Carolina or Georgia, and you want your lawn to look green, you know, break out the ryegrass. This is the time to really, the ryegrass will thrive in this cold weather, and you know, make sure that some of this available. When you look at it, when you purchase it, check the date of it. You know, it's very important that you get something that's fresh that wasn't left in the warehouse over the winter, you know, summer. They're not supposed
how,
to be
how
that.
Fresh is fresh? Is, you know, 90 year, days, a
you know,
year?
90 days ideally.
Okay.
When you broadcast, make sure you have good overlap and then water for, you know, every other day. And you should get, it comes up really quick and it's going to look, you know, if you've got that burn look on your lawn, it's going to look good.
And it's good for your lawn in spring.
And it's good.
It's a nitrogen fixer.
It provides fertilizer. It's a nitrogen fixer.
Yeah,
so
I'm coming along.
When it dies, it's going to be in produce some type of fertilization for the lawn.
You also need to dethatch that in spring? Or
no, it rots fairly quickly. As soon as it warms up, you know, it's rot. It's going to die and
so
rot.
So it's a plus all the way around.
Yeah, it's a
There's
plus
no
all the way
downside.
Around. No, not really. Not really. I've never found any negative issues with it. Besides, you got to mow during the winter. You know, then when you're picking out your type of ryegrass, if you have a choice, the perennial ryegrass is darker green. The annual one is light limey green.
So, really? So it's perennial, meaning it would die down in spring and return on
its
own?
Well, the perennial is, it would be perennial if you lived in Minnesota, but not in Florida.
Oh, okay. So it won't rejuvenate itself
the
following year.
Itself.
Oh,
no,
that's
right. Perennial if you lived in Minnesota.
Got
you know,
it.
Or Boston, but not
or
down
Buffalo.
Here. Buffalo, New York, but not down here. You know, so that's a way to, you know, really neaten up the yard. And I also noticed that, you know, some of the things you could do during the winter is remulch. That makes it look a little nicer.
Yeah,
so you get greened up, remulch the lawn. It's cool out there, and you'll be good for 6 or 7 months.
Six or seven months. I love it.
Yeah.
It's 7:30 here at News 104.5. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 7:35 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Gardens with us. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. And from St. Augustine is Mark, who has some irrigation questions. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Mark.
Hey, I love you guys' show. This is really more of a question about drainage than irrigation, but...
Bring it on.
Well, my backyard... At the very back edge of my yard, it's pretty swampy, and it does have a drain area that goes into kind of like a communal drain floodplain type thing.
Swale.
It still kind of builds up. So I was wondering if I put like a reverse French drain, basically, bury a pipe that I can put and connect to a irrigation pump, if that would help drain that area while at the same time saving myself money by having non-city water to water my yard with. Do you think that would work?
So you're going to use the water, standing water to irrigate, okay? Yeah, you could. I don't know how much you're going to have. You have to have quite a bit of water. I mean, is it that much standing water there?
Well, it dries out, you know, during the summer. But I was thinking what I'd do is dig down and put, like, you know, the French drain type pipes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Down about 4 feet mm-hmm. underground and, you know, in like an X pattern. And then in the central area, place my pump head and then yeah. use that water that I'm sure will yeah. flood that little thing
well,
to water the rest of the yard.
Well, you know, you can water from ponds and everything like that. So I don't see you'd have to have a filter on the intake, some way to get the debris out. But what I think would be a better idea for you is to take a couple 55-gallon barrels and bury them and cut the bottom off of them. And so that they will
that, like a sump.
Yeah. So and then put some landscape fabric on the bottom to keep any, you know, large particulates from in clay and stuff from getting into there. And then you'll have 110 gallons of water. And then you can put a connecting pipe at the lower end of it. So the when one pumps out, you can, you know, connect to the other one. So that would probably be your best case scenario, and then bury them, you know, you know, maybe so the top is maybe a foot below the soil level so you can put grass on. But that would be your best case scenario. Then you need to have something to look inside or to measure the depth of the water so when it's not completely full that you don't, you know, burn your pump up by
you put it on a float switch.
Yeah, you can put it on a float switch. There's a couple different things you could do. But that would be your best case scenario. And I've done that before in where they've had huge water basins, underground collection areas, and you can hook into your irrigation into that. All right?
Okay.
That sounds expensive and complex to me.
What about, is there some sort of plant I can plant back there that would really suck up a ton of water?
Well, you could plant, you know, any kind of willow would drinks a lot of water. Trees, you know, look for trees because trees, you know, they can consume a lot of water. You know, we're talking about 100 gallons, 50 gallons in a day. Depends on the can be evaporated through their leaves, you know, depending on the size of the tree. But willows would be great, you know, red maple would grow really well in that damp condition. Bald cypress or pond cypress—they're going to consume a lot of that water and drain. Or you know, figure a way to just trench and dig it out so it can drain more efficiently and figure out.
That sounds like the ticket is get right. your drainage so it drains away.
It does drain into this communal kind of floodplain thing.
Right, right.
But that's where it starts backing up, and I think people would be a little miffed if I went out into the communal.
Well, you could backfill. If it's your property, you could backfill that area and then just, you know, raise it up a little bit. So, it, you know, it would be your best bet. Raise up and then change the drainage or planting is your next thing.
Be cautious if that's a designated wetland and you
fill
it.
Yeah,
because if it's a designated wetland and you fill it
right.
and you've aggravated a neighbor, you are in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, that's true. You got to make sure it's not a designated wetland area or upland area. Okay.
We're talking in an area about the size of somebody's driveway.
Yeah. Well, you look on your survey, it's going to tell you what it's designated as. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good luck with it. I learned that do not fill in a designated wetland and aggravate a neighbor the hard way. Actually, it was an easy lesson. It was just expensive.
Buffer zone. You know, you look for a wildlife buffer zone and, you know, all those type of things.
Yeah. Don't want to break any rules.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You recall I've been sharing with you about the fire extinguisher recall?
Yes.
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
The folks at Chimney Champions, here's what they're doing about that.
Mm-hmm.
When they do a chimney sweep or inspection, they're also inspecting a fire extinguisher. They've always been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They've made arrangements with Kidde, the fire extinguisher company. They carry replacement fire extinguishers with them. If you have one that's recalled, they'll just swap it out for you, and Chimney Champions takes care of all the other paperwork. So just something to keep in
wow.
mind. Yeah, I've been sharing with you how important it is to check.
That's easy.
Yep, KIDDE.com. You can check for yourself. You can do it all yourself. If you've got a fireplace and you're already, you know you need to get it cleaned and serviced. Chimney Champions can care to it, and they will swap out your fire extinguisher for you. You don't even need to deal with it. Now, if it's not a Kidde and it's not on the recall, they're not giving away fire extinguishers.
Kidde, okay. You get it.
Kidde.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I told you when I spoke to the company, I called Kidde to make sure I was doing the right things on this recall to share it with people. And they told me I said it wrong. They said Kidde or Kidde. So.
Like if your last name is Bucket, it's Boucher. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
I don't know why they made that decision, but they did.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk about windows and air infiltration.
Right.
And this is for you individually because I want you to be warm. And I know you
warm and toasty.
Classic sash windows that are gorgeous that you restored. There is an easy, inexpensive, non-destructive way to reduce dramatically the draft that comes through those old wooden sash windows, and that is by purchasing really cheap. It's called backer rod, and it looks almost like rope that's made of styrofoam, if you can imagine such
mm-hmm,
a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's flexible.
It's squishy, and you can get it in different sizes, meaning different diameters, and you cut it and press it down inside the gaps at the top, sides, and bottom of the window.
Yes.
And it works beautifully, and it's not permanent, which is really extra great. So, you know, you could caulk your windows, then they're stuck shut, and it makes a mess. The backer rod, and this works on aluminum windows, too, old ones. I had it in my house. That's how I learned this. Anyway, you stick it in there in the seasons when you don't want air to come in, and if you decide you want to open your windows, you just open the window, and the backer rod comes right out. When you close the window again, you just stick it right back in. Backer rod. It's usually in the weather strip department at any hardware store. So check
that out. Those windows are, you know.
Yep. Oh, we have a special caller.
Yes.
Got to be really nice to her.
Okay.
It is my granddaughter, Grace, checking in.
Okay, great.
Grace, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Hey, Grandpa.
Hey, how's your day going? You staying warm?
Yep.
What are you doing to stay warm?
Just wrapping up in a blanket.
Wrapping up in a blanket. Electric blanket or just a manual blanket?
A normal, like, fuzzy blanket.
So much rig.
Okay. I'm happy to hear that. You enjoying your day?
Yep.
You like plants?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So, I have a question for you.
Oh, please. What is that?
So, what do you do on your radio, on the radio show?
What do we do on the radio show? Well, here on the Home and Garden Show, we're here every Saturday from 7 till 8 a.m. The co-host here is Larry O'Neill. He's a giant guy, 6'5", 232 pounds, and he is an expert in all things out in the yard. So he helps people with driveways and landscape and grass and plants. And then I talk about things and help people with their houses so they're warm and safe and comfortable. Pretty good deal?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I love you, and I'll see you a little bit later. Thanks for giving us a call.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
I think she likes houses more than gardens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, if you like houses and you're still having a problem with getting your roof fixed, you know, you can give Galaxy Builder a call. They got plenty of space to get you taken care of. You know, 503-4164. Also, you know, if you got sash windows like I got and you want to get them replaced, they can do that because they are a general contractor. You know, I'm not yet going to replace my sash windows. I mean, I've thought about it. I'm starting to think about it, you know.
It's a big decision.
They do leak like sieves. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they leak like sieves, but they're nice. They're beautiful. The wood window is a classic style.
Are they painted on both sides or are they clear wood?
Painted on one side and clear wood on the other side.
Beautiful.
So they're beautiful like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they need to be reglazed, you know, after so many years, you know.
Yep.
I reglazed them. One time myself, and I kind of messed that up, you know, on some of them, and they got a little bit of leak. You know, the water leaks down the glaze and comes in the when the expansion and contraction, especially on the south side, where
one of the big things in the older single pane windows is condensation. So a lot of the rotten destruction that occurs isn't actually water leaking through, rather it's condensation that it collects on the window, so you're making your own indoor rot, you might say.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And I'll share this with you. When people start looking at, oh gosh, I got old single pane windows, would it be more efficient if I had double pane windows? The answer to that is yeah, though that's not the real issue. The issue is the air infiltration. So mm-hmm. like in your home, it's drafty because they're leaking air.
Right.
So it's solving the air leaking is actually more significant than solving the thermal value of the glass.
So let me ask you this. You know, if you what is the net effect of changing your windows? Let's say if you had a choice to put in insulation in the attic or change your windows, which is going to give me...
That's a great question. It really depends what you're starting with. So your windows at your home are a worst-case scenario.
Yeah, the worst
meaning
case. Yeah, yeah.
They're leaky and drafty, and it's single pane. Mm-hmm. For you to go to a contemporary window, I don't mean in style, but in performance, meaning a low-E glass, double-pane glass, and thermally insulated and non-leaking frame, you'd probably... The biggest thing is you'll be significantly more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But in a saving sense, that would be fairly dramatic. I would say over the course of the year, you're in the 5 to 10% savings on your HVAC. Mm-hmm. When we look at attic insulation, again, it goes back to what are we starting from?
Right.
And where are we going to? So let's make believe you had your original insulation from, when was your house built? 28,
30? 1920s.
So originally no insulation or maybe a small amount.
They have some blown-in insulation.
Yeah. So if you, it all depends what change you're making. You know, are you going from, let's say, R9 to R38? That's pretty significant. Mm-hmm. And it's also important to remember that you need to stop air from infiltrating from your attic into your living space. Mm-hmm. So sealing all where the wires go through and the pipes go through, that actually makes a bigger difference than enhancing the insulation.
Oh, okay.
So
sealing all the holes is the number one priority.
Stopping air infiltration.
That's the number
one
priority.
It's the cheapest thing you can do in your attic and windows and all around your home.
Right.
You have a secondary benefit, your house, or many secondary benefits. It's cleaner because you're not bringing in dirt and dust. You have fewer bugs because they can't just walk in. So everything about sealing and reducing air infiltration is a great positive. So you really... Really want to do that. Very, very inexpensive. The challenge is there's no money in it.
Right.
They call that weatherization. There's very little money to be made, and it's a little bit time consuming. So many companies would rather sell you a window or sell you insulation, sell you other things rather than do a weatherization.
Climb around out of there
stuff.
And look. Yeah, climb around, look for cracks.
It's time consuming, and there's not much to sell. A tube of caulk or a little.
And
back
it's a lot
rod.
Of detail work and searching and time. Yeah, it's time.
Great, great, great. Do it yourself for stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy. Yeah, it's inexpensive. Yeah. So I would go in that direction, and you know, this either or isn't as straightforward as it appears, because you got to know what you're starting from and what you're trying to accomplish, and people often chase efficiency rather than chase comfort. So I'm a big fan of, will this make my home more comfortable? Not just, will it make it more efficient and save me small amount of money? Anyway, let's take a break and then we'll come right back and take care of Mary Elise. It's 7:49 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break. We'll be right back to your calls at 340-1045 and we'll be helping out Mary Elise also. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. 7:54 on a playoff winning weekend for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what's on my mind. Over to Argyle Forest, checking in with a great friend of the show, Mary Elise. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, ma'am.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I have some plants, like a firebush and morning glories that have froze and kind of got turned mushy looking. Am I supposed to cut them off now or...
Well,
alone,
that's a good question. I think in the earlier in the hour, we said if the plants have been already damaged and if they're not too unsettling, you don't mind, you should leave them in place because, you know, they form a little umbrella for cold protection of the base of the plant. And if once you remove it, you know, then the damage when we have another freeze will go down further and further and further into the plant. Okay. So what it is going to do is going to give you a quicker response when it warms up in the spring. But if you don't mind waiting a little longer and, for it to respond in the spring, you know, go ahead and you can cut it down. Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just wait to protect it then.
Yeah. Trimming trees and stuff like that, large trees, is a good time of the year actually to trim those. And that prevents or inhibits water spouting in the interior, you know, of the tree. So when you trim like live oaks and in the interior or trying to get them better looking structure than trimming in the winter, because they are dormant. There's less tendency for them to produce water spouts. So that's the little tiny branches that you see where you trim the large branch that sprout up. Okay.
Okay. Wally, I wanted to tell you something. I called you earlier this week when the cold came and my 40-year-old heat pump.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Mary.
It was another miracle. It's still working. I think it might have just froze up a little bit. Now it's still chugging along.
40 years old. That's when you told me that, I was absolutely amazed.
Yeah.
You have the second oldest heat pump I've ever seen in person.
Yes.
I saw one older than yours. It was made by Singer.
Singer. I used to have one.
Singer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have one, but it was always on the north side. The heat that you got to make sure if you can, you put locate on the north side. Where it's out of the sun. It just makes a huge difference in the longevity. All the old ones I've seen when I go to landscapes, I always ask them because, we always talk about it.
Yeah.
It's on the north side always.
But that could be your secret, Mary Lise.
But, okay,
it
Mary.
It's
in the shade.
It's definitely in the shaded area.
Shaded area. Yours is in a shaded area. Yeah.
There you go. Success.
40 years.
Anything else on your mind, ma'am?
Cranking.
No, that's it. But thank you so much.
Yeah, we're
thank
happy you. To hear from you. And
Happy New Year, too.
Happy New Year,
of course. A beautiful day, man. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's fun. It's really time. She and I were chatting this week about it's time to consider a change.
It might make it 50.
There's a piece of me that wants it to make it to 50, but there's another piece that doesn't want to see her put more money into it.
Yeah.
Next time it hiccups, it's time to go away. I had the same decision in my house. I was attempting to see if I could set a record with my previous heat pump, and it just got too expensive to fix it, so I bought two new Daikins from the same man.
Yeah.
It's 7:59 here at News 104.5. Go Jags!
Yeah,
beat
go Jags!
Buffalo. Have a beautiful day. Use your turn signal
Thanks
on the way
us.
To the stadium. Bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.